Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Yakubowski from the Battlefield District, our guest this morning. Chris, good morning. It's been a while since you've been in. It's good to see your smiling face.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It is budget time everywhere, and boy, you deal with a pandemic and you deal with a fast growing locality. Lots of things in front of the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors. How close is the board to setting a tax rate? And now you're getting pretty close to even adopting the budget.
Right. Well, tonight is a budget work session that we have, and it's the first date that we can legally adopt a budget if we wanted to. There have been some updates, actually positive updates on revenue that county staff estimates, and they do their best as they work with this situation where you have the state that is working on their budget at the same time that we're working on our budget, at the same time that the schools work on their budget. And so it sort of is a moving object, and the numbers change, and they do every single year. And this year, we have actually had them move in the right direction. We just got a memo last night, I do believe it was, or the night before. And basically, the revenue has increased by about, I think it was 2.1 million, 2.5 million, somewhere in there, which is good because the costs that we had been seeing that have been coming in outside of the budget were totaling, a few hundred thousand dollars. So There's some positives coming out of it. Tonight we'll get that information. We'll be able to work through it. One of the things that I try to do every year is get from budget staff, when you build a budget, just like when you build your home budget, you have the things that you have to pay. You have to pay your credit card bill. You have to pay your car payment, your mortgage, the things that you must do. And then the next tier down are the things that you should be doing to move things ahead, house repairs, things like that. So in the county, it might be capital improvements, hiring critical staff. And then the next level down from that are the things that we want to do to, continue the county moving in the right direction. But it all depends on if you have the money to do it. And so I think that if you scale your budget that way, you actually wind up with a more sound fiscal policy behind your budget. And so I'm going to present something to that effect and obviously get input because I'm only one board member. I need three others to agree with me. And hopefully we can get to some sort of resolution by next Tuesday when is typical when we adopt the budget.
I was going to say, Spotsylvania is usually the first to be able to of the area localities to get a budget done. Has it been tougher? Any tougher this year than it's been? Because of that good news that is I would guess helping matters.
It is. Every year we always hear the same things that it's a needs-based budget. It's a difficult year. I've never actually been on the board with a budget that, it was easy.
Right.
And there were no tough choices to make, which, that's part of why we're elected is to make those choices. And so this year, not necessarily more than any other year, except that the state actually has come through with more funding, especially for the school system, which was nice to see that the educators will actually be getting a raise. Hopefully, if we fully fund them, it'll be a 6% across the board, which they should get that. And I really get tired of the fact that some board members like to use the schools as a scapegoat of the reason why spending is out of control. And that was one of the reasons I asked. And I know it's numbers over the air just don't really sound good. So I'm going to try not to throw too many numbers, but basically, out of the money that we have brought in over the past 10 years, 80% of it has gone to the county side, not the school side. Schools have got about 20% in new revenue. Of that 80%, overwhelmingly, the county has used that money to fund enhanced public safety. Mm-hmm. So now we have 24/7 coverage at every single fire station, advanced life support coverage at every single fire station 24/7. You know, we're doing really well with our coverage. And the school system, like I said, has gotten 20%. So if you have some out there that are upset with how much we're spending, well, you need to figure out where we're spending it. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we have some board members that like to bash the schools. You know, they get gold-plated something. I don't know. Sometimes I tune out some of their ridiculous comments. And they just use them as a scapegoat. And the reason is that as the budget is formed back in, you know, September, October, the different departments come in with what, you know, their needs are. And, you know, staff does a really good job of whittling through all that. And then the schools come in because the schools actually pass the superintendent presents to the school board his recommended budget, just like the county administrator presents to the board of supervisors. And then the school board votes on that, then presents that budget to the county budget or to the county after the county budget has already been presented to us. So if there's any extra that they might need that they have come to find out that they might be short on because of funding from the state or whatnot, it looks as though the schools are the reason for the increased spending or a tax increase right. that's needed. And I think that that's, you know, not fair. And so what we should do is, like I said before, see the things that we must fund, and then everything else that sort of falls out of that, see if we have the money to do it.
Like you said, I've been in the schools for a lot of years. I haven't seen anything gold-plated yet in the schools. But it was a couple of weeks ago when the state budget, when the General Assembly allocated their money to schools, and you stepped up right away and said, because of the $2 million or so gap with the county budget and what the schools were asking for, that at that point you had said,
right,
the county should be able to fully fund the school budget.
Well, we should. And what we should do is, you know, the schools are a part of the county. They're not a separate entity. Granted, they are, you know, elected officials and they run the same time we do and, you know, have the same constituents that vote for us, vote for them. And, you know, they are treated as though they are some sort of, you know, outside agency that, you know, is constantly bothering us for money or constantly bothering us for time. And that gets very frustrating because they're not the reason for this. And actually, if you see, and the staff has done a very good job of answering questions, though I must say that most of those questions, when you see them on the board questions on the website, are actually my questions. Because I think information is needed to get out there. Not only from what the schools have been getting, also, you know, growth rates in the county, what do they look like, budget spending over the many years, what have we done? All that kind of information needs to get out there because sometimes you have people that use these little sound bites and they say, you know, I'll go back to the gold-plated, schools have something gold-plated, and that just resonates with people because, you know, on some levels, and especially the federal government, we have a lot of waste and we have a lot of ridiculous spending, but at the local levels where you got to get it done, this is where you fund your firefighters and your teachers. And even though we're not required to do roads, you know, we've gotten into the road business. So this is where it happens. And so if you want to complain about waste, we can talk about waste. But up until this point, all that has been is a difference of opinion on how we should spend money, not true waste of resources and funds.
And the schools make a good when I think when they presented their budget to the board this year to look at what overall look at what 5-10 years ago how much of the budget was going to schools and how much it is today, that's a pretty telling statistic that schools are getting far less than they did.
Well, and there's correlation there too. I mean, if you think back on what happened 10 years ago, and who got elected. And then the funding for schools, how it's just gone downhill. You know, it's not an accident. It's not just you know, a coincidence that those two things are correlated or happen together. There's a correlation there. And, you know, pulling money from the school system constantly because you don't like them, because you think that, you know, they And on the national level, we can have those discussions, but you don't mix the issues of what's happening in California and Illinois as to what's happening in Spotsylvania. Let's fix the things that are wrong here, make sure that we can do the best that we can with the tools that we have right here in our county, and instead of constantly trying to import issues and import problems, no matter what they might be. And on this certain topic, you have people that do that, and they constantly rail against the schools, though I noticed that a lot of their talk recently has been to, you know, I love the schools, I love the teachers, but, you know, I sort of go by that Bible verse of, you know, by your fruits you shall know them. And I think that's incredibly telling. And those numbers, you know, are very striking.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski here. We'll continue when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski in this morning. We'll start off with the budget and got a bunch of other things to get into as we go along this morning. As far as the tax rate goes and all, have you settled on anything of which you're prepared to support at this point, or is that still a little ways off?
No, I mean, the interesting thing about the tax rate is, you know, you also need to look at it historically, which I asked staff to go back and look and just double check numbers. And since 2012 until now, you have a thing called the equalized rate. And what the equalized rate is, it means that the tax rate will be set at a number that the county government only receives the same amount of funding as they did the year before, plus 1%. There's a little carryover thing there. So basically, you have a lot of people saying that that's the no tax increase rate. So if you want to use that, we can debate that. But if you want to use that as the baseline, you go back and look at the last 8 or 9 years, roughly, and you see that the tax rate in the county has increased above this no tax increase line by 2 pennies. 2 pennies. You look at all the other localities around us that we compete with, not, you know, the Louisas, and you know, we do compete with them to a certain degree, but more so Prince William and Fairfax and the northern counties. And you see that their tax rates constantly go up. You know, Loudoun County actually has lowered their tax rate because they had an assessment year this year. Spotsy's assessment year is next year. We do it every 2 years. And they lowered their tax rate by 3 pennies, which is still 1 penny above equalized. So it's still, according to some, a tax increase. So it looks good that they lowered it a little bit, but they're still, you know, spending money, and the tax burden on the individual homeowner is what you also have to look at too. So in Spotsy, it's roughly $2,400 for a residential unit with a house for real estate taxes. And then in Stafford, it's around $33,000, and in Prince William, it's about $4,000. So we're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And so, like I said before, we have a lot of spending that we did on public safety, 24/7 coverage. We've done a lot of road improvements. You know, we've paid for pay increases. We've another couple of things we've done very fiscally responsible is we created a budget overflow. Basically, it's a stability fund. So if we have little gaps in revenue that don't come in, we actually have a fund that we can reach into. And we have very, very good fiscal policies. That's why we have a AAA rating from two agencies. And so, you know, we're doing a lot of the right things. And that 2 pennies over, if you remember a few years ago, after the school shooting, that the sheriff had come and spoken to us, and that was outside the budget. And, you know, that was something that we had to fund. And how do you fund it when you've already, you know, basically funded everything else? That's the way you do it. So those 2 pennies actually have gone for very critical items. And it's gone for stuff that's on the county side, not the schools. So again, the schools are not driving this increase. It's been the county, and it's been a lot of spending on the county side with the lack of interest of how to pay for the spending. from some board members when they go out and they, you know, for instance, back in November, they paid for or they voted for a step and a COLA increase for county employees, not saying they don't need it, but it's outside the budget. That was almost $3 million.
And you at the time asked, how are we going to pay this? We're going to get to the spring and this is going to come up on the budget.
And out of silence. And out of our $4.4 million, I think, in money that the county has identified as the stuff that we must pay for, $3 million is that step and COLA increase.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all about priorities. It's all about the things that we want to do and how to fund it. But when you're out there spending money and then you refuse to pay for it and pay your bills, you know, I think that that's not the right way to do things. But then it falls to, you know, the other board members to, you know, step up, be the adults and do the right thing.
You've been good at looking ahead and looking forward, and like you say, with that particular pay raise of how to pay it. Mm-hmm. This came up, and I thought of you the other night. The city was talking about paying for a new school and in a number of things that are down the line, and the point was made: you can't look at a budget, you can't look at the 2021-22 budget without also looking ahead at maybe, you know, what it's going to be at 25-26. And, right. And you've always talked about that there are some bills to be paid in the next few years that have been just pushed off.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, and a lot of this growth that was voted for, and we kept hearing, well, it's 20-year build phase on these things, so don't worry, it's 20 years in the future. Well, that's 10 years ago. You know, we're halfway there.
Yeah.
And a lot of these things have already been built. And that impact on our services is, you know, causing an increase in many ways. We have a new fire station that we need to build, number 12, down the Massaponix area. Once you staff a fire station, it's an extra over $1 million a year just for staffing and ongoing money. So, you know, if you don't know where you're going, how do you know if you're getting to the right place? And it's very frustrating because, you know, some people just want to look at it, you know, give a thumbs up and leave because I guess they got better things to do. But to me, if you're elected, you're there for the duration. And if the meeting goes long and you're missing something, you know, tough. That's what you signed up for. And it's frustrating to see that happen because the debate that we have should be as public as we can make it. And it should be very back and forth and vigorous because we're your representatives and you need to know where we're coming from and why we're making the decisions that we're making because they affect you. Yes, I live here too, but so do 139,999 other people. And, you know, it's irresponsible in my opinion to not do that. And so, you know, we have transportation's another one that spending just kept on going and going and going. Well, we now need to move ongoing money into that transportation fund to cover those costs. And over the past few budgets, I've been able to slip in $700,000 because I figure anything under $1 million, most people wouldn't look at.
Yeah.
And that's been happening. So instead of $3.5 million, you know, I think we're down to about $1.8 million of costs that we need to move over to cover those, or revenue we need to move over to cover those costs. So, you know, it's just a lot of being prepared for what we know is coming. And one of the things I always try to do is look at other counties that have been where we are. Prince William is a great example. And they were us, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
What did they do right? What did they do wrong? You know, you reach out to them. I used to have board member friends up there. Not so much anymore just because they've changed. But finding out, you know, how can we do things better? You know, you're always going to make mistakes, but hopefully you don't make the same mistakes that everybody else has.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You mentioned transportation because that came up. I think it was the last meeting, and mm-hmm. You don't often hear. There was discussion, and it was a project over in the Chancellor District. Mm-hmm. And where some of the money that was because I think you questioned this about some of the money that had been set aside for a certain project had been moved somewhere else, and so then you had to find money go back to that project.
Yeah.
And I thought that again goes back to, you know, of what you talk about of looking ahead and planning for things.
Well, it also goes to the fact that, you know, when we have rezonings that come up, you know, the rezoning, the way that I look at a rezoning is if you currently can do something on your property and you're asking the county to rezone, you're asking the county to give you more. So how is that a benefit to the county? What is the upside? And I'm not talking necessarily money. It might be, you know, they will dedicate right of way for a road expansion that we won't have to pay for, you know, so there, it has to be something tangible. Or, you know, for example, there's the apartment complex I voted for that actually offers subsidized housing for county and school employees. That is a way to help with that burden, and also to also you know, bring in teachers and others, because that's an incentive. You know, or if you turn a commercial pad into a residential pad, you're reducing the number of car trips.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So it's not just a very simple one-to-one. It has to, you have to really look at the entire entire item. And so what that was the there was a project, there was a rezoning, there was roughly $1 million given for road improvements, and it was going to improve an intersection with new turn lanes. And then VDOT came along and said, no, we should do a roundabout. Well, the roundabout was $2 million. Well, we only have a proffer for $1 million, so where's the other $1 million come from?
Right.
Well, it comes from the taxpayer. And it came from the bond issue that we voted on that never had that project in the bond. It's not illegal. It's just we didn't do the other projects that are ahead of it. And so that project right there is not fully paid by the developer, but, you know, half paid by the taxpayer because VDOT wanted a roundabout there.
Well, roundabouts have become the in thing. Where is this going to be? Is this going to be? Is it Chancellor Road that's going to be?
Yes, that's Chancellor and Old Plank. There'll be a roundabout there, and then there'll be a roundabout up in Andorra and Old Plank, too.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're going everywhere.
There's Lafayette Boulevard. We've got those. Okay.
Yeah, you buy one, you know, buy 10, get one free. Kind
exactly. Of thing, yeah. Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Yakubowski here from the Battlefield District. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Yakubowski, our guest this morning. The other night on the board, you voted down the crucible and the rezoning there. First of all, we'll talk about that issue, and then there's some other side issues to that. That was never, the people in Thornburg certainly came out opposed to that whole project.
Oh, they did, and. You know, the Crucible guys are professionals. That's the thing that I think people misunderstand. You know, they run a facility in Stafford, never had any issues. They're former military. You know, they're professionals. They know what they're doing, and it's their business. So safety is top of their priorities. The noise issue, I understand. You know, I don't live there.
Yeah.
And like with any project, I want to talk to the people that are going to be affected by whatever project it might be on a daily basis. And so their concern was noise and safety, where the you know, property values and those type of things were sort of, you know, downstream. But those are the two big ones that you kept hearing about. And the fact is that, you know, safety, like I said, they're professionals, and they would take every step that they needed to make sure that their site was safe. Noise, you know, it's, you can't really muffle the sound of a gunfire too much, even though you are in the country and, you know, people fire off all the time down there. But yeah, it was, the opposition was just there. And I think that the applicants realized that and wanted to perhaps maybe find a better site than than right there in a commercial corridor.
The board also rezoned that land to C2.
Correct.
And you brought out, and then I saw on a number of Facebook posts, when you asked the question, I didn't think anything of it, about one of the uses. It's got a number of retail uses, but one of them is not used car lots.
Thank God. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
And I saw several people, because I did not include that in the story, and then wished I had, because several people said, well, I guess this is what we're going to have, and I guess that's why you specifically asked that question.
Right, and that was the question when I first heard about this, was to make sure that, you know, if you're going from an agricultural use and you're not going to do this intensive use as the crucible, let's not put a use in there that is going to be, you know, not, I want to say just as bad, but still annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's one of the things I think people are very tired of and frustrated with. And if you're looking to keep that area as a job center, and grow it that way, then a used car dealer, you know, is not the top of the list at all. But one of the things in that area that people also need to realize too is that there are plans for hundreds, if not thousands, of new residential units coming in. And so if you're opposed to Crucible being there because of the noise and the safety, which I understand, you know, I wonder what the opposition would be to apartments and townhouses and everything else coming in there, which they've all been submitted. They're all in the pipeline.
I could see that that would
come in that way.
That would be an area that would be would all of a sudden you start looking towards some areas where you could put that, and that, right, that is an area.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, raw land. It's undeveloped. We got a nice new interchange at 95. Commercial interest in that area is very high because of all the raw land that we have. We have utilities going down that way.
Yeah.
And so you will get residential. I mean, there's nothing wrong with residential. You know, if you didn't have residential, we wouldn't be here. So, but it has to be done the right way. And we can't constantly approve, and then go back and try to backfill everything, thinking that, well, don't worry, down the line, you know, the state will step up with some money to fix this problem. And a good example of that is the 4 mile fork down the Massaponics area. The VA hospital is coming in, which is going to be a good thing for that part of Route 1. But in that area, partially because of the VA hospital, but partially because it just needs to be done, there's about $200 million in road improvements that are going to be done. And the county is on the hook for about, I think, 60 to 70 million of that. Now, granted, we can pay for that through different ways. But if the state comes in and they're going to do a road improvement and we have to pay for half, we pay for half or it doesn't get done. So that area, even if the VA hospital didn't come in, we would still need these road improvements. And so one of the things that we did do that was voted 5-2 in favor of was to basically take that area and make a set aside, basically, of new money that is going to be coming in because these parcels will be improved or will be generating more revenue. You take that new money, put it into the bank, and use that money to pay for these road improvements. Then that way it doesn't even go in the budget. You're not even missing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's already set there. It's set aside, and it's going to pay for the road improvements. And there are a lot that are coming in that area, and it's really going to help. But let's not do that to Thornburg also. Let's make sure that we learn from the mistakes. And you know, some of it's, you know, it's not intentional. Let me put it that way. I'm not blaming any other former board members. You know, you don't know what the future is going to look like. You do your best.
Yeah.
But we already have that as a roadmap. So let's not do that again. And let's make sure that Thornburg is done in the best way that we possibly can. It won't be perfect. There will be mistakes that are made. It's just, you know, we're all human. But let's try our best to not replicate the past.
Because of that interchange, Chris, and I get the feeling, and I know there's things you can't say, and you may know of a lot of things, but I do get the feeling. And Kevin Marshall mentioned the other night data centers and things.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that area is going to be a prime area for some things, and that I'm sure that there are those out there, you know, looking at that area as this is a way to to really maximize what we want to do in Spotsylvania.
If all of the projects that have been mentioned would actually come, I think that that area would be a booming job center, and the tax revenue that would come in would be very helpful to the county.
Mm-hmm.
Will they all come in? You know, who knows? You know, we hear projects constantly, and, you know, hopefully we get them. Hopefully they stay in the region, because it's always good for the region to get jobs. I prefer them to be in Spotsy, not Stafford or Fredericksburg. But hey, you know, if they go there, you know, at least our neighbors are benefiting, and not North Carolina. So that area will be growing. Hopefully we will be getting some high-end jobs that would be coming to that area, and also a nice mix, because that's one of the things I don't want us to lose focus on is, you know, not everybody can be a defense contractor. You know, there's all kinds of work that is out there, and good, honest work. And that also needs to be applauded too. And though we might strive to get higher paying jobs here, which is a good idea, we shouldn't neglect those other jobs and make sure that we have a good variety, so that our workforce is not so top heavy in one way that, you know, the other jobs just don't exist.
Now, I think you hear rumors of things, and there are some pretty mm-hmm. exciting things that if they were to take place would be gets for Spotsylvania. So we will see.
Yes, there are, and if I can't say anymore. If you're trying to drag it out of me,
no, I'm not. Nice, I know, nice try, I can't. I know that there's a line here, and you're not going to even go. Right. You're not even going to go near that line. Mm. Supervisor Chris Jakubowski here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You mentioned the VA clinic. I would guess that we're going to start seeing some ground starting to move and some things starting to happen in that area soon.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the paperwork and that type of stuff has been done already, and you'll probably see some movement on that. There's some issues with the transportation network in there, what VDOT wants to do and what makes sense. Those two things are at odds sometimes. And so we're trying to work through that stuff to make sure that once it's up and running, you're not trying to retrofit a lot of things. But that, I think dirt is going to be moving on that probably this summer, I would imagine. And, you know, these are the folks that built one down in North Carolina. They know what they're doing. I'm not sure of the time frame. I would assume a year or two at the very most to get it up and running, but it's going to be pretty soon. And when that happens, a lot of road improvements will be going along with that. And you'll see a lot of movement in that area in a very positive way.
The pictures that I see of it, I just can't imagine it in that area. And I just think that whole area is just going to change dramatically. And then all you have to do is just go across the street pretty much and look at what's happened around Spotsylvania Regional Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that kind of those kind of office buildings and things that surround Spotsy Regional, you're going to see in that area too.
Right, and that's the hope too, is that part of Route 1 will be redeveloped, and because it desperately needs it. But the VA hospital will be a catalyst to increase jobs, increase the development along there, clean it up. There's a lot of streetscape improvements that will be done also, so it will be nice to have that on there. Plus, you know, it sits right on I-95, so as you come down, it'll be a nice addition to our county. And I think that once that's up and running, there will be a lot of improvements.
I came here 30-some years ago, and Four Mile Fork is still a lot the same.
It's the same road.
Everything exactly is the still road. The same. Yep. And I was thinking the other day going through there, this whole Four Mile Fork area, probably within the next decade, is just really going to change.
Well, yeah, it definitely will. And the road improvements, Smart Scale, it was approved for the Four Mile Fork, the Route 1 208 Lafayette intersection there. I think it's roughly about $12 or $16 million to improve that, to get that flowing through there mm-hmm. better. So hopefully, you know, once these improvements get in there, you know, the construction time is always a headache. Nobody likes that. But once that's all complete, you know, I think that the road network will flow a lot better. We'll get some new connections, the Germana Point to Spotsy Avenue,
mm-hmm.
That connection road, so it'll parallel Route 1 and 95. So you have an alternate way to go from 17 over to Lafayette. You know, there's many things that we have been planning on doing, and hopefully they're all coming to, you know, coming to that point of actually happening now. And then, you know, it takes several years to actually build them. But once that's all complete, I think it's going to be very beneficial for the area.
Chris Yakubowski here this morning. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. We're going to talk about a little green sticker that you're going to need in your car. I have mine. We'll talk about it when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Yakubowski in this morning. Chris from the Battlefield District in the county. So you don't get caught on May 1st, you're going to have to, and it is a green sticker. I have mine and on my cars, and I have said this before. You are on this vote particularly. You're my hero on the board because you stood up to this. But you're going to have to have a sticker to be able to use the county landfills after May 1st.
Right. So make sure you get your sticker. I'm not opposed. You got to follow the rules, even if they're dumb. You still have to follow the rules. I have to go get one, though. I'm dragging my feet. I haven't gotten mine yet, and I was hoping it wouldn't be green because it's going to clash with my car color. It's going to be awful.
You know, it's done that with mine.
Yeah, it could be yellow, which would be worse. But yeah, you know, we're going to have that. And again, you know, we don't know. One of the things, actually, I should say that we found out was that there's no enforcement behind it.
That was what I was going to ask you, because I thought that to me told a whole lot, because your whole point in opposing this sticker was the fact that explain to me the problem, and nobody can really explain the problem. There's no data behind it. You can just say, well, it's this, but there's nothing behind it.
Right.
And there's no enforcement behind it now either.
No, there's no penalty. So basically, if you were to drive up, and I'm not encouraging this at all, don't do this, but if you were to drive up and you didn't have a sticker, and the attendant says you can't use the facility because you don't have a sticker, and you say politely, you know, I'm a resident, here's my license, I'm going to use it anyway, they can't do anything to you. There's no teeth to the ordinance as it stands right now, which just proves that this ordinance was slapped together in a way that was really, really shoddy, and really it's poor policy when you do something like this and then you have to go and clean it up time after time after time. And so, you know, the way that I look at public policy, you know, if you have an issue and you have a problem, you identify what the problem is. You see if you already have any ordinances on the books that need to be enforced that you can, you know, enforce, maybe beef up a little bit if you had to. Then you check and make sure that the policy is actually going to work, that you don't want to, implement a policy that's not going to solve the problem that you've identified. And then, you know, lastly, you go back and you double check everything. And we didn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
They literally came out and said, we think that there could be a problem here. Well, what is that problem? Not sure. So what's the solution? Well, slap a sticker on there that has no teeth to it. For what purpose? And again, how do we know when we fix the problem? That there's no metrics whatsoever. You know, if they want to say that we wanted to reduce, you know, a certain type of traffic coming in there, because I know that there, might be rental vehicles that come in with trash. You don't know where they're coming from. You know, ask those people where they're from.
You're right.
You already have an ordinance.
Right.
So
you
just
can
ask them.
I can show you my driver's license.
Right.
If someone says to me, and I can show you, and it says right on there, there's my, I'm at 22407, and it'll say Spotsylvania County.
Exactly. If you want to take care of some of those issues, go for it. I'm not against it. I'm not saying that there isn't an issue, but if you can't identify the issue and you can't put it down on paper and say, here's the problem, then you don't really have a problem, because you can't actually tell me when it's fixed. And so May 1st is coming up fast. I can't believe it's April already. And you're going to need that, because if you don't, you know, I don't want you to get in an argument with the attendance, but just, you know, get it if you can, or make sure you get it if you need it, I should say. And we'll continue to discuss this policy, because next up is thinking of a fine if you don't have it. Now, isn't that going to be lovely? You get a fine for a free sticker to solve a problem that we still don't know what it is.
So yeah, make sure you can do it online. I did it online, right. And I had the stickers sent to me. But the whole time I was having to fill everything out, I just was angry.
Well, I have something to look forward to then, I guess.
So you can, but they did come. They came about a week later. Oh, yeah. So give yourself some time. But no, I felt bad for the treasurer's office to have to implement this, and the
staff's they've done a great job. It's not county staff's fault.
No,
that the county board of supervisors implements a ridiculous policy, but they're doing the best that they can. The attendants do the best that they can, so you know, give them some slack. Realize that it's not their fault. Call your supervisor and complain to them. And
I'll
remember,
do that.
I voted against it.
You did vote against it.
Call the rest of them.
Because you, like you say, there never was. It was, everybody had a different reason, and right. I just thought, how will we know if we've solved this problem?
I guess when every single reason is solved, and who knows when that is.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Yakubowski from the Battlefield District. Chris, great to have you in. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a
and
good day.
We will talk again soon. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
That's it for today. Have a great day. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.